The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Saturday night is always all right for the Jimmy Sangenberger Show right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks for joining us this evening on a beautiful spring day. Wait, no, it's November 9th. I was a little confused by the weather, but I'm looking outside, and just since I got to the studio 15 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago, it's gotten dark, so it must not be the spring. But boy, was it a nice sunny day. I needed the beautiful day and getting outside a little bit. Had some nice Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And now we're revved up and ready to go with a heck of a show for you today. I am fired up. More on that in just a moment. Second hour, we're going to talk with Amanda Wheeler, who heads up the Rocky Mountain Smoke-Free Alliance. President Trump is going to be doing a vaping ban coming up soon. Want to understand their perspective. They represent local shops in Colorado on this. And also we will talk with former Colorado House Speaker Frank McNulty about the movement now, moving forward, of this ethics investigation against John Hickenlooper, who was governor and did some things that he should not have done. And thankfully, the Public Trust Institute, which Frank McNulty heads up, got wind of these things, looked into it, and the Independent Ethics Commission is doing its due diligence. We'll talk with him about that. That's the second hour. This hour and the third hour, we're going to be focusing in on Arapahoe County and the shenanigans there with the clerk and recorder I affectionately call license plate tag clerk. Now, why do I do that? And why have I done that since March of this year, at least? I think it was March. Might have been sooner than that. Well, it is because she has absolutely no prior elections experience. And it showed this past week with the elections, particularly in my home city of Aurora. Where, man, I mean, we've been all over this the last few days on KNUS. My thanks to Chuck and Julie and Stephen Tubbs for having me on, to Randy Corcoran and Craig Silverman for doing their due diligence in terms of giving some attention to this story. I mean, it is abominable what happened. So guess what? Ballots are still being dealt with. There are some ballots that need to be cured. There are issues with replacement ballots. We'll get into all of that, including with Kyle Clark from 9 News, host of the show next on 9 News, coming up in the next segment. And also in the third hour, we will talk with former Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyer, who has been filing CORAs and ethics complaints against this clerk, Joan Lopez. And we will also have a fun interview with Ms. Lopez. You've heard my Donald Trump interviews before. Well, wait for this in the 7 o'clock hour. So they were counting ballots as a Thursday. That's when they wrapped it up. They had 30,000 ballots left to be counted in Arapahoe County, mostly for Aurora, as of Wednesday morning. They only got through 12,000 on Wednesday, and then they got through them on Thursday and finalized at least the primary ballot count. Now, here is Lopez in an interview with 9 News explaining her reasons for the delay.
Why do you have 18,000 ballots left over for a couple of days after election day? We had an amazing turnout. Just in the last 2 days, we had ballots were 93,000 we received in the last 2 days of the election. So Monday and Tuesday was 93,000. So that just, even before that, it was 68 that we received. So the turnout was amazing. The last posting, we had 150,000 already that we tabulated.
You know, this is just so funny to hear because I presume that the reason why she got this 93,000 number was because they didn't work over the weekend and they didn't collect ballots over the weekend. Not only that, but they ran things like a union shop. I say that because they were able to go home at 5 p.m. Election officers or election judges, I hear, weren't going in until like 11. Not only that, but they were sorely understaffed. She says, oh, the turnout was amazing. That's what she blames. Folks, I have it on good authority that she used 2015 and 2017 numbers to estimate maybe somewhere around 100,000 for the turnout, despite having Proposition CC on the ballot, a controversial measure, and a mayoral race in Aurora. Despite that, which should have led her to use 2013 numbers, her office used 2015 and 2017. And I want to be clear tonight, too, that when I'm talking about her office, the office of the Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder, headed up by license plate tag clerk Joan Lopez, I don't mean the rank and file staff. I was talking with former clerk and recorder Matt Crane, and he just wanted me to share and said that he trusts the tabulating staff completely, which I appreciate, and I do as well. But here's the thing. In that office for clerk and recorder, we had a new clerk, a new chief deputy, elections director who was new, and a new communications person. Those are the senior positions and the decision maker, and they were totally unqualified for these posts. Not just Joan Lopez, who never ran an election or was involved in elections in her life prior to this flubbed one, but her staff, her senior staff as well. The rank and file people did their work, but guess what? I talked with a lady who has been going for at least 25 years to review and watch over ballot counting. She was there Thursday afternoon and shared with me, and I'll talk more about this later too, shared with me that in the first room where they open up the ballots and they go through and flatten them out and get them ready to then go through the machine, that room had like fewer than 20 people in that room, which she said she's never seen before. The people who were in the room were doing their work. They were focused. They were efficient. But there weren't nearly enough of them in that room to do what needed to be done because they were woefully unprepared. Then she told me that a staff member told her that on Wednesday evening they left at 5 p.m. That doesn't happen in elections. Usually, they stay later to get it done, especially when there are delays. They will also work in the weekends, which they did not do. Setting aside the partisan issues of this clerk, which go back months, and we've been talking about that, you can just set that aside and look at her lacking credibility when it comes to running an election in the first place and making sure that it is done efficiently and well and that they are well prepared for it with the staff resources that they needed. And it's not very hard, as I understand it, to do the job in the first room where you open up the ballots, you throw away the sleeves, and you flatten them. That doesn't seem all that difficult, does it? Apparently, it's difficult, maybe? I don't know. Trying to understand how you could flub something so, so badly. And in this interview with 9 News, she would underscore again the voter turnout and how it was unexpected and so forth. Well, that shouldn't have been the case. They should have been more prepared for it. Should have been doing their due diligence. And that wasn't done. We got a lot more on this. A lot of different details that we will share. I've been doing more and more digging into this. No, we don't have final results in the Aurora mayor's race. We're still waiting for that. But we're going to take a quick break already here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. And when we return, we will talk with Kyle Clark from 9 News and get his thoughts on Arapahoe County Clerk Lopez, as well as most specifically what happened in Aurora and more. And we've got a lot coming up here on an action-packed edition of the program. Stay with us. News Talk 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
You can travel over oceans and around the world. You can follow every notion that you can't afford. And someday when you're feeling all alone and your thoughts turn back to home, let them stray back my way. I hope you know your home is right here next to me. Just as long as you want it to be. Your home is right here next to me, next to me.
Had to let the Tabanois tune breathe so we could hear a snippet of his solo, one of the great guitar players around today. As we move along this evening with the best bumper music known to man, more than 6 years running on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We're talking for a lot of the time this evening about Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder Joan Lopez and how she handled the election for 2019, an off-year election, and these delays. I'm going to play again a clip from 9 News interview with Steve Steger, where she talked about the reasons for this delay.
Why do you have 18,000 ballots left over a couple of days after election day?
We had an amazing turnout. Just in the last 2 days, we had ballots were 93,000 we received in the last 2 days of the election. So Monday and Tuesday was 93,000. So that just, even before that, it was 68 that we received. So the turnout was amazing. We're at the last posting, we had 150,000 already that we tabulated.
But as we've noted on this program, they were sending their folks home at 5 p.m. pretty early, and also didn't work the weekends and seemed understaffed, particularly in the room where they take the ballots and open them up. Let's talk about this and related issues with the host of Next with Kyle Clark on 9 News, Kyle Clark himself. Kyle, good evening. So great to have you.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. So what's your overall sense for things before we dive in here? Oh, Kyle, you're cutting in and out a bit for some reason.
All right, let me see if I can get us a better signal Just a quick second.
All right, you bet. Again, Kyle Clark joining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. You did sound better there for a second. So,
sorry about that, Jimmy. Is this better?
No worries. Perfect.
So
go for it.
I would really encourage folks, as they look at the situation in Arapahoe County, to separate things into two different piles.
Mm-hmm.
There's the actual ballot counting, specifically as it relates to the Aurora mayor's race and the Aurora council races. And then there is Clerk Lopez's seeming inability to describe even the basic functions of her job. So if there is vote fraud or something nefarious going on, then the election attorneys working for the various candidates will sniff that out. Her, I don't know how you say it, her stumbles are a separate issue, which I have yet heard anybody say has affected the actual vote counting.
Yeah, so let's take that for granted for a moment and accept that. And I haven't seen anything that I can particularly point to either as far as, oh, this is an example of vote fraud that would unquestionably have changed some votes. But at the same time, I do think that if we look at how the election was done and how late it took to get these counted and how she didn't work weekends with her staff and they sent them home early and all these other things, that shows a lack of preparation and understanding of the job, in my view. And that's troubling enough, setting aside any concerns about partisanship.
And you're certainly welcome to raise those issues. Yeah, I am not intimately aware of the hours that her staff were working or so on and so forth. What we tend to look at is there anything that would qualify as an irregularity? It's not an irregularity for there to be an enormous wave of votes coming in at the last moment. In Colorado elections with our mail-in ballot system, sometimes you'll see 50% of the vote come in the last 36 to 48 hours. It's not unusual to see enormous vote swings as different areas of counties or cities come in late. The thing that's suspicious is if you see votes coming in from the same part of the city or the same part of the county, and they're lining up along one trend line, and then they suddenly divert. But if votes are coming in from different places, it's not unusual for them to break in different ways.
So what can you tell us is going on with this replacement ballot issue, Kyle Clark?
So the replacement ballot issue, these are about 800-some folks who had asked for another ballot for some reason. Maybe they spoiled their ballot. They messed something up. Maybe they misplaced it. The dog ate it, whatever. They ask for a new ballot. Those ballots are shipped from a ballot processor in Washington State to Colorado. If you believe Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, the issue is that the U.S. Postal Service did not get them here and distributed in a timely manner. And then what we hear from the Postal Service is, it's not our fault that you guys weren't willing to pay more for fast shipping, basically saying you went for the lowest common denominator, the slow truck shipping, and you get what you get. At the end of the day, there are about 600 people who were going to vote, who had the opportunity to vote in that Aurora mayor's race, who got their ballots on election day. What that means then is they're in an amazing race to get that ballot filled out and then physically hand-delivered to the county clerk by 7 p.m. to get it to count.
And so when we talk about these replacement ballots, I mean, the one thing that the county could have done, now, obviously, the ballots themselves coming from Seattle weren't something that they were doing. The Secretary of State's office deals with the ones that come in from Seattle. But I understand that they could have printed replacement ballots themselves locally if they wanted to. And at the very least, they could have tracked those 800 ballots or whatever amount was in Arapahoe County and followed along with where they are and maybe acted accordingly in letting voters know what the progress was?
That's a good question. That's a question that we'll give some attention to next week, because my understanding was that the flex factor was that the Secretary of State could have come in and held voting open, possibly to allow those additional ballots to come in. One thing that I don't know is if you hold voting open so that those folks can get their ballots in, is that then a free-for-all for anybody to come in and vote late?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how exactly that would work. But we're talking about 600 ballots, and the current margin for Mike Kaufman in the mayoral race is 281, 283, something like that. But when you have 1,000 votes countywide in Arapahoe County that are being cured right now, they're going back to people to check on signature deficiencies, things like that, plus you've got the potential for military ballots coming in, those could be significant.
Again, we're talking with Kyle Clark, host of Next with Kyle Clark on 9 News. Just a couple minutes left in this segment, and then you're kind enough, I appreciate it, to stick around on the other side as well to delve a little further into this. I know that there were at least one or two precincts that there were issues, about 250 voters that had gotten incorrect ballots. And I'm just curious if this 600-plus ballots in Aurora, if any of those replacement ballots were tied to those 250. Do you know about that? Any idea?
That is the first that I'm hearing about people getting incorrect ballots in Arapahoe County. This will happen from year to year where a precinct gets incorrectly assigned. People end up with the wrong races, the wrong options. The biggest case of that that we covered this year was in Adams County, where the newly elected Democratic county clerk took responsibility for the fact that about 17,000 incorrect ballots went out to folks in Aurora, in which the ballot said pick one for at-large city council when they were actually allowed to pick two. That major error was not caught by the Adams County clerk or the folks in Aurora who looked at that ballot, so they had to get rush ballots to another 17,000 people.
Yeah, we're going to delve into that a little more later in the third hour with Suzanne Steyert, former Deputy Secretary of State, who's been on top of these issues very close. We've got to take a quick break here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, get to the news and what have you. When we return with Kyle Clark, I want to talk a little bit about some of the political bias and the concerns that we're seeing there, and maybe one or two other topics as we continue here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, really just getting warmed up and ready to go for the next 2.5 hours on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Jimmy Sangenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Ah, you can welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Playing the same bumper a second time. Oh, Patrick. That's still a great tune from the great Tab Benoit. We continue here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. So great to be with you. Appreciate the time. As always, we are talking here on KNUS with Kyle Clark, host of the show Next with Kyle Clark, weekday nights at 6 p.m. on 9 News. Kyle, I want to play another excerpt or two of Joan Lopez, the Arapahoe County clerk and recorder, from Steve Stager, reporter at 9 News, his interview on Thursday with Lopez, because it was rather stunning how she answered some of these questions. For example, here is Lopez talking about how she take a listen to this one.
How do you tell folks, because I know it's a lot different than it used to be with mail ballots as opposed to voting in person. I think in person you got those results almost right away. This is a much more involved process. Can you explain that to folks?
I think this makes people vote, you know, they get a ballot, they're more apt to they're not going to go to a polling place more so than be able to vote in their own home. And if people want results faster, please don't wait until Election Day, because this is what we run into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
That's kind of what I was getting
but
at, is that it doesn't happen as quickly as it used to.
I'm not going to complain about the voter turnout. I mean, 40% at this point and climbing is phenomenal for a coordinated election.
Okay, so I want to play this clip here, one more here.
The turnout that we did.
I know there's been some concern from people out there, especially with the mayor's race in Aurora and how close it is and how late this is coming in. A lot of people thought that it was going one way on election night and it's changing in these coming days. What do you say to those concerns?
Every vote counts. My team is dedicated to making sure your vote counts. It's important, and vote early. Otherwise, this is what we run into, counting 93,000 ballots in the last 2 days.
And here's the critical one.
I think
it's about partisanship.
It is very partisan right now as far as the political climate. I don't know how to answer that.
I'll play the full clip later, but Kyle Clark, what did you make of that interview?
So the question that elicited that last answer was, how do you assure Republicans that you, a Democratic clerk, are handling the election in a fair manner? She was unable to answer the question. It's kind of the most basic question you can ask an elected elections clerk. How can you assure people in the other party that you're doing things fairly? And she literally said, I don't know how to answer that question. Now, does that mean that something nefarious is going on? No, not on its face. Does that inspire confidence? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's the thing that is so troubling from my perspective, more than anything else, is the lack of confidence with the delay and the reasons that she gave for the delays, and then also being unable to address the partisanship or the bias question. I mean, here are a few things that happened, Kyle. One, and I caught on to this in March, and it ended up getting me blocked by the official Arapaho Clerk Twitter account for 24 hours. That I pointed out that she was the registered agent on an IEC independent expenditure committee called Hardcore Democrats that had already, by that point in March, endorsed candidates in the Aurora City Council races. Also, she did the blocking not just of me, but of Matt Crane, her predecessor's wife, Lisa, of former Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert. Then you have the vote early, vote often flyer that we've talked about in this program, handed out at the Global Fest Aurora event on a Saturday in August, where she literally said on the flyer, vote early, vote often. Also, a few days before ballots dropped this election cycle, Democrats were told in advance of Republicans and unaffiliateds that ballots would be dropping earlier than anticipated. The public wasn't even notified of that. And somebody called a day or two before on, I think, Wednesday of that, the week the ballots went out, asking when they were going to go out, and was literally told that they would drop on Monday on Columbus Day. And then, of course, you also have just a variety of concerns that go beyond that. But Kyle Clark, I've talked enough. What say you on that?
I think there's no legal requirement for the officials, the elected officials who oversee elections, to distance themselves completely from partisan or party activities. But I think we have seen models for how it can be done well and models for what happens when it's done poorly. Let me look at the state level real quickly at our last three secretaries of state. All right. Scott Gessler, Republican, got dinged for the fact that he was moonlighting and Craig said he was doing some other election work while he was in office. Fair criticism. All right. So he took some heat for that. Wayne Williams, Republican, comes in, still participates in party activities. I mean, he goes to the Republican Party dinners and things like that, but he's not out there flame throwing. He's not injecting it into his job, and was very clear about, like, his job is just to count the votes at the end of the day. So he tried to stay away from the real partisan stuff. Then you have Jenna Griswold, Democratic Secretary of State, who's in office now, and we've reported on the fact that she sent an official press release from her office to the political director of Planned Parenthood for him to edit it and send it back to her before she sent it out. We were critical of that decision, saying if Republican Wayne Williams had sent a press release to the NRA's political director before he sent it out, people would have been, you know, torches and pitchforks. There's a model for how this works and a model for how it doesn't work. And it works when the people who count the votes do their best to remove themselves from the most partisan of activities.
Yes, and I would say that Matt Crane, her predecessor, also did a really good job at making a point of distancing himself from the sort of partisan political behavior. But the thing that has concerned me, and I saw this going back to the March time period when I identified some things, and ironically enough, I suggested on Twitter that maybe Aurora, where I'm a resident, should consider running their own elections for this cycle and beyond, which of course they didn't in 2019. Arapahoe County still did that. But I'm just looking at this and seeing a pattern of things, whether it is not preparing adequately for the election to take place this week or some of the partisan activities. And that's what's most disturbing to me. And we are only in her first of 4 years in office, Kyle Clark.
Well, and there was a release from her office last night, which had the tone of, let's get through this election and then we'll be accountable for the process. And I think that's a useful thing to say. But I'm hoping that somebody in that office is also realizing that the process is one thing and people's perception of the fairness of the process is another thing. And when you're handing out flyers that say, not in a joking, cartoonish way, but in a very serious way on a serious flyer, vote early, vote often. And then you're donating to candidates that are running in races that you're counting. And then you're unable to explain how your job works. That does not instill faith in the process. And as a journalist, I you could say the exact same thing if you had a a Republican making jokes about vote shenanigans and then donating to candidates and then appearing to have no clue how the job works. It doesn't matter what party somebody's in.
No, I agree. This is a particular job position, Kyle Clark, where you really should be professional and know what you're doing and focused on that work regardless of the party. I mean, there are obviously positions where it's going to be partisan. You're going to expect that. But this is something where I think the people of Colorado across the board should have a right to expect better, no matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat who's the county clerk or Secretary
of State. And it brings up an interesting issue about whether this is a position that we want to elect. Well, that'll be for other people to decide. Not everybody elects their elections clerks. Not everybody elects their, you know, their sheriffs and so on and so forth. I mean, there's a question of when is it useful to have somebody elected. Now, the benefit of having somebody elected is that they are directly answerable to the public as opposed to the political figure who appointed them. So Clerk Lopez is accountable to the public who elected her.
Two final questions on this topic for, again, we're talking with Kyle Clark, host of Next with Kyle Clark on 9 News, 6 p.m. weekday nights. Do you think that going back to earlier in this process, the communication issues, so we discussed before about how, you know, there's no specific evidence of voter fraud, but communication issues early on in an election and letting one group of people know days in advance when ballots are going to drop so that they can plan their canvassing efforts of getting people going door to door. They can also plan their mailings in advance and what have you. That can have an adverse effect for particular candidates and a positive effect for other candidates. For example, Aurora City Councilman Dave Gruber won his race with only 54 votes, not this election cycle, but the previous Aurora election a couple years ago, by 54 votes. I think communication issues like that can have an impact.
They can have an impact. I have not been able to nail down a firm timeline of when outreach was made to parties versus when she talked to people. So I don't have a fact set before me as a journalist to say that they did anything improper in that way. But again, I return to this issue of not only does the process have to be sound, but people have to have confidence in it.
So let me ask you one final question on this topic and then something else that goes to your program next on 9 News. Where do you think this heads from here? And will there be a point, because I know you and Marshall Zeninger were talking about that this week, last night, at which we may get a review and know exactly what happened with all these ballots, get the appropriate information on everything, and it could take a long time, but will everything be presented? Do you think there might be legal matters? Where do you see things going?
We are going to continue to try to bring people the voices of the election attorneys who are there on the ground working on behalf of the candidates. On Friday, it was Martha Tierney for the Democrats, and it was Scott Kessler, the former Secretary of State, there for the Kaufman campaign. And we asked them very specifically, have you seen evidence of vote fraud? And to a person, they all said no. I understand people like to speculate. They like to get revved up. Anytime a race looks one way on election day and then the late votes close it or change it in a different direction, people get conspiratorial. But here's the deal. Those are the folks who have to put their money and their professional reputations where their mouth is. So I would love for people to kind of slow their roll on this, something nefarious is going on, if the elections professionals who are partisans in there looking for it don't see it.
Yeah, I would suggest that more than pointing out specific instances provable of voter fraud, that a pattern of behavior is enough for folks to question the credibility and efficacy of an official like Clerk Lopez. That's my particular view.
That's a confidence issue.
Yes.
No, absolutely. And on Friday, on Next, I said exactly that, which is no evidence of vote fraud, but boy, this is not a confidence-inspiring performance from the clerk.
Right, yep. No, you did. And I want to just say that the last couple of nights, I think you and the team there at 9 News, and particularly for your program Next, have done a good job covering this story. And that's not just me saying that. I've heard others, including Republicans, who have made that exact assertion or evaluation. So kudos for that. I do want to ask you, out of curiosity, when you get a dicey issue like this one, or say oil and gas battles going on in the legislature or in Adams County or what have you, how do you approach that, especially from a journalistic perspective, and then when you do weave in your opinions a little bit?
Sure. So the rule that I operate by is somebody who offers commentary and analysis, which is not new to local news. Carl Akers was doing that on Nine News back in the 1970s, is I advocate for shared values, the kinds of things that hopefully everybody in the community can agree are important. Honesty, transparency, accountability, especially from elected officials. I don't advocate on policy. I'm not going to tell you, here's what we should do on oil and gas, and that's why, or, you know, I know that you've called for the resignation of the clerk. That's not something that I would ever do. But I would talk about whether or not she's meeting the obligations of the office as outlined to the public. Take on the issue of oil and gas. That's something that we've talked about quite a bit. It's useful for me to get in there and explain to people who say, hey, this was a bait and switch. We voted down oil and gas regulations, and then the Polis administration and Democrats just did it anyway. It's worthwhile for me to get in there with some analysis and say they're related topics, but what they did was something different, and it's something that they promised to do all along. And it's also, you know, that's where I feel comfortable getting in there and advocating. Now, you can decide that what they did was right or wrong, but what I'm there to do is tell you if it was consistent.
Where do you see, and I know I want to have a lengthier conversation in the new year with you about this, but where do you see, in a nutshell, media bias as being at today, particularly in the TV news space?
So most of the time when somebody asks me about that, they're asking about national political reporting, which is not something that I can do. I can speak to the local news landscape. People in the media are biased because they are people, and all people are biased. Bias just simply means how you look at the world based on your life experience. And I think most newsrooms are reflections of the places where the people who work in them live. So, therefore, a newsroom in Denver is going to reflect the politics and the perspectives of Denver versus Colorado Springs or Grand Junction, whereas the newsrooms there would be more reflective of their community. Then we get into the subset of political reporters. I'm a political reporter. I work alongside Marshall Zellinger as a political reporter. Previously, it was Brandon Ritterman and Adam Schrager, going back to my 12 years at Nine News. I have had years and years of political discussions every day with those gentlemen. Every day we sit across from each other and talk to each other about politics. I have no idea how they vote. People do not believe me when I say that, but I'm telling you, you can talk about politics without seeking to persuade somebody to believe in the policies that you believe in. What do we talk about? Is this politician being honest? What have they said in the past? How will these policies impact people? And I'm willing to put our work up against anybody's to say, if you believe that what we're doing is biased, let's have a conversation. But I'm going to ask you to come with some specifics, not just I have this perception and, oh, and then I'm going to default to something that I saw on CNN. No, talk to me about our stories. I love to talk to folks about stories, especially on social media.
Yeah, I think that's often the case where people who don't pay close attention to what you're doing. For in your case, and of course, I'm an opinion commentator on the radio, but a lot of times people have their perceptions, and then that's what they bring in, and they're not able to point to particular specifics about how you conduct yourself on television or on the radio.
Sure, and it's difficult for me to debate the feeling that somebody has about my work because they don't like CNN. I can't defend myself from that attack. Here's the deal. I have absolutely no interest in defending the work of CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or anybody else. But I would love to talk to anybody who has concerns about our work.
Kyle Clark, we'll leave it there, but I look forward to a future conversation in the new year. Hope we can get you in studio for a chat. But thanks so much for taking the time this evening. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate the invitation. Take care, Jimmy.
Of course, you can listen to Next with Kyle Clark on Nine News at 6 p.m. weekday nights. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back here on The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Lots more ahead. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Jimmy Sangenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS. We'll be right back.
Okay, this is the kind of thing you sing about a lost loved one who left you, but everything that Johnny Lang is singing, Joan Lopez should do the opposite. Don't lie to us, Arapahoe County Clerk Lopez, and don't stay. Go away. In fact, I have called on Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder Joan Lopez to resign for her inability to credibly perform her job and to provide some level of confidence for the voters. Does this sound confident to you when she was asked about fairness and the sense among the voters and Republicans that fairness is actually something she's taken into account?
I think it is very partisan right now as far as the political climate. I don't know how to answer that.
I don't know how to answer that question. When asked, how can you assure the voters that it's bipartisan how you've been operating? We've got the full clip. We'll play it later on in the third hour when we hit back on to these issues with an entertaining interview you do not want to miss. In the first segment of the 7 o'clock hour, in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour, we will talk with former Colorado Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert, who has filed multiple ethics complaints against the clerk, as well as CORA requests, Colorado Open Records Act requests, trying to get to the bottom of things. Like, for example, a trip that the clerk took to Orlando, spending $2,800 or so in taxpayer dollars. And guess what? She didn't participate in the certification classes. Her staff did, and she went to support her staff. Instead, it appears she and her family went to enjoy Disney and the magical land there. And guess what? I don't have a problem with that. I do when taxpayers are paying for any of that. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. We're going to talk about what's going on with vaping and President Trump. Probably going to do a ban, a flavor ban next week. Curious about that from a liberty perspective especially, but also Frank McNulty, former Speaker of the House, on the Hickenlooper ethics investigation and report. Stay with us.